Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, are we ready to clap?
Yes.
Yes, maybe. All right. Hold on. All right, here we go. Ready? Three.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
He will read anything you put on that teleprompter. All right. Here we go. Ready? Three, two, one, clap.
Go yourselves, San Diego.
All right. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are my guys, Mike Tagliare and Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliare NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Gentlemen, how we doing? It's week 15, start, sit. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Yates, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I actually have some energy, which could be due to the fact that I'm drinking a double espresso right now, but I've got energy. It's mid-afternoon. We've got to record. We got to get everyone ready for their Week 15 playoff matchups. I think I actually might have the most energy on this podcast.
Let's just pull the curtain back a little bit, because that's what we do here at the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We were talking about it coming right before we started recording, and I was like, you know what, guys? I don't know. I'm beat. I am tired. I am worn down. I did like week 15. I feel like I've got to really prep it up. And Tag's like, yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I feel you, Dan. Like, that's where we are. And Yates is like, this is the first time I've prepared for this podcast all season long. I'm ready to go. Here I go. Wow. Yeah. I'm telling everybody, buddy. I mean, look, Tag spends 7 hours preparing for this podcast each and every week. I start preparing for this podcast the week before. You apparently just roll in here and you're like, whatever, I'm going to see what's going on. And today you were like, I'm so ready for this. So this is what I love. It starts it show. I mean, if people are listening right now, they have to make the decisions. They cannot go wrong. Okay, Yates. So you are the only person who apparently is dedicated enough to prepare for your first show ever in week 15. So you're going to be carrying us. Are you ready to do that? Do you accept the challenge?
Challenge accepted.
Wonderful. I love it. Okay. So before we get into it, reminder, we have our giveaway as we always do. We're giving away a signed James Robinson helmet. You guys, look, leave a review for the show. Even if you aren't entering into the contest, leave a review for the show. Helps us out, makes us feel appreciated. Even the mean ones. I mean, whatever. We grow from them. We get better. And also, try to win the signed James Robinson helmet. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to submit your review. Couldn't be easier. Again, that's going to run through the end of December, so you got a couple more weeks, but go ahead and get on that. All right, guys, you know what we do here with the Start Sit Show. We talk about the guys we like, the guys we don't like, but let me first run through very quick news. If I missed anything, you two pointed out to me. Drew Brees looks unlikely to play this week, so you're probably going to get another matchup from Taysom Hill. Henry Ruggs is on the COVID-19 reserve list. He is out for this Thursday's game against the Chargers. John Brown has been designated to return from injured reserve, so he could play as soon as this weekend. Matt Breida was activated from the COVID-19 reserve list, so you have another Miami running back that you can choose not to start this week. The 49ers opened the practice window for George Kittle. Guys, real quick, Do you think we're going to actually see George Kittle back on the field this week? I'll throw it to the person who prepared for this podcast, Yates. What do you think?
I really would be surprised. I don't think he's coming back this week. For, like that, I'm like 98% certain of. I think next week, week 16 is the question. And then even at that point, when you do have potentially CJ Beathard as the quarterback, week 16, man, I just don't know if I'm going to be comfortable with my championship game, unless I have a just an absolute streaming option. Like I'm just punting the position that I'm really going to try to avoid George Kittle, even if he does come back in week 16.
Tags. If you make it to week 16, let's say you've been streaming. You've been streaming the whole time. George Kittle is back. Are you really going to say, sorry, George Kittle, not worth my time?
I don't know if I'm going to do that. If he plays, I think you have to play him. It really sucks, though. But the thing is that the 49ers have done a really good job this year keeping players out until they're actually healthy. You know, Debo Samuel was someone, even when he came back at the start of the year, they eased him back in. Yep. But then we learned with Raheem Mostert, we learned with Tevin Coleman, like they weren't rushing these guys back at all. It was like they were taking their time. I don't know. It like when you once you unless you have Travis Kelce or Darren Waller or I guess Mark Andrews maybe fits into that conversation. TJ Hockenson,
I think might be a guy who I'd be like, okay, you're here. I'm going outside that tags, right? Outside of that, you got Robert Tonyan, right?
Robert Tonyan.
I don't think Tunyon's there. What do you think, tags?
I mean, I was the doubter on Tonyan for a long time, but I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I mean, like, if you look at that guy's targets, I think in I pulled up the stat in the I'm going to pull it up here real quick because I really want to see what it is. He in terms of the passes that have been thrown his way, 52 passes have been thrown to Robert Tonyan this year. He has only let 6 of those passes hit the ground. He has 9 touchdowns on 52 targets. Like Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP level. Teams can't stop Davante Adams. They're going to continue to try and scheme him. Even though Tunyon's only getting like 5 targets per game, he's catching every single one of them. And it seems like he's catching a touchdown every game. So it would probably come down to the matchup, to be honest with you.
Tunyon's a tight end 4 on the season.
Yeah, just whatever. In there. Whatever. It's crazy. George Kittle, if you're listening, I'm the only one who supports you, okay? Because I'm putting you in the lineup over Robert Tonyan. Robert Tonyan, if you're listening, I also support you. But still, it's George Kittle. Let's not go crazy here. All right, moving on to the rest of the news. DJ Moore returned to practice. He is likely to play this weekend. Lions center Frank Ragnow fractured his throat last week and is questionable for this weekend. Guys, I want you to remember that, okay? I want you to remember Frank Ragnow, the next time you guys are like, this is, if you're wondering
next
why
time I stub my toe,
correct,
complaining about it.
And if you're wondering why I'm like screaming into the mic with crazy energy, it's because I looked at Frank Ragnow and I was like, you know what? What am I doing? I'm like letting it, I'm just like, whatever. Hi guys, how you doing? I got to bring it. Frank Ragnow, you're our hero. I hope you can play, man. That's amazing. Finally, Daniel Jones apparently sprained his ankle last week, in addition to his hamstring injury. So his status is very much in doubt this weekend. I personally am not expecting him to play, and I'm going to be ranking as such. All right, let's do some start sit here, guys. You know what we're going to do. Players outside the guaranteed starts, players we're fading, all the good stuff. Let's start with running backs. And Yates, we're going to start with you this week. Let's start with a running back who is outside the top 20 currently in our half PPR ECR, who you're looking as a start this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon, guys. RB22 in ECR. He's RB18 in my ranking, so not a super crazy jump. But looking at the matchup here, the Bills are allowing 4.6 yards per rush attempt this season, and they're allowing 1.2 rushing touchdowns per game. But here's the other part of it is that Melvin Gordon has been extremely efficient over the past couple of games. And yes, he's still splitting work with Philip Lindsay for some reason. Here's the thing, though. Philip Lindsay has only amassed 77 total yards on 36 total touches the past 3 weeks. Newsflash, that's not great. So I think at some point you can see this coaching staff say, we're going to go with the guy who's moving the ball, and that's Melvin Gordon. So in a plus matchup here against the Bills, I'm fine starting Melvin Gordon too, especially when you factor in that he's getting 3 to 4 targets per game. He's coming with a safe floor, and I think there's an excellent chance that he finds the end zone here. So RB22 in ECR, I've got him a little bit higher. I could see him even rising as we go throughout the week.
Yeah, tags, you know, we talked about it on the start of the show where it was supposed to be the court date, and then it got pushed back, so we were concerned. How do you feel about Melvin Gordon this week against Buffalo? I mean, that's what you do, right? You try to attack the Bills on the ground if you can.
It does feel that way. I mean, they've allowed 11 total touchdowns to running backs through the 13 games. Volume has been average against them, 26.6 touches per game by running backs. And that's the only part that's concerning to me, is because Phillip Lindsay, despite the fact that he's been extremely inefficient, they continue to give him a lot of work. Like over the last three games, he's totaled just 70 yards on 34 carries. Meanwhile, they've given Melvin Gordon just six more carries, and he's totaled 230 yards. It's probably foolish of us to expect that to just change overnight. And at the same time, the reason I like Gordon a little bit more, and I probably agree with Yates here, is that Gordon is the primary passing down option. This game should have a negative game script. With the way that the Bills' offense is playing, with the way they're moving the ball right now, and then adding in the fact that Denver is down their top, or four of their top five cornerbacks, they should be able to move the ball pretty much with ease down the field. So I would think if it's a negative game script, you're going to see Melvin Gordon out there in the passing game role. He should get the goal line carries. So I have him as the number 20 running back on the week. So I'm two spots higher than consensus. So it's nothing crazy, but I do like him.
I've got him 21 as well. All right, let's do a little who should I start. Remember, we have a who should I start tool where we can see who fantasy managers are asking about in terms of should I start player A or player B. And again, this one's a little tough here, Yates, because we don't know for sure that he is going to play. There is some optimism that he will, and that is Ronald Jones at Atlanta. Would you prefer Melvin Gordon or Ronald Jones?
Oh, man. When you factor in that he's dealing with that injury, even if he does play, right, like that could hamper him a little bit. So I've got Ronald Jones right now at 22. I've got Melvin Gordon at 18. Even if Jones is declared active and he plays, I'll probably still play Gordon over Jones.
How about you, Tags?
Yeah, I would much rather play Melvin Gordon. Yeah, Ronald Jones, I mean, I don't know what's going on with him right now, but I have him down at 30 because even if he plays, I don't think he gets the usual workload that he typically would. And Atlanta's the best team in the league defending the run on the ground. Going through the air is a different story, but again, with that finger, I don't think you could depend on him to catch any passes. So Ronald Jones, even if he plays this week, I'm low on him.
Hey, can we talk about that for a second? Because I know we're going to get questions about this all the time. We're going to need more information. We're going to have to read Coach Speak. I did read an article about what essentially the Bucs plan would be absent Ronald Jones. It sounds like it would be mostly kind of Leonard Fournette getting more of the early down work and maybe McCoy being the passing downs back. But let me throw it to you. I know, guys, it's early in the week. It's Wednesday and we don't know exactly what's going on. But fantasy managers, we're probably not going to talk about Leonard Fournette or LeSean McCoy necessarily, or maybe we would. But how would you feel about those guys, Yates, right now, off the top of your head, assuming that we learn that Ronald Jones is out against Atlanta? How would you feel about those guys?
Yeah, I think McCoy, I'm not going anywhere near him personally. And for week 15, I'm not going near 33-year-old, 32-year-old LeSean McCoy. Leonard Fournette is the intriguing one. I think I would probably put him right at like RB 24, 25. So again, Tags mentioned it. Atlanta is actually a pretty stout matchup here against opposing running backs. Even though we saw Austin Ekeler just, you know, gash them with his work through the receiving game, I think that you kind of just have to bet on that with Leonard Fournette. And the way that he's dropped passes this year, I don't want to bet on that.
Yeah, and ever since Antonio Brown was added to this team, they're not targeting their running backs anymore. Like, you go back to where before Antonio Brown...
I mean, why would you?
Yeah, well, it's true. No, I'm with you, but Antonio Brown's been hyper inefficient as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's noteworthy because that's what was giving Fournette value earlier in the year in terms of like his pass game usage. So if that's not there against Atlanta, that's definitely worrisome.
But Tags, remember, I'm bringing this up because I got a little some questions about it on Twitter because, you know, we talked about it a little bit with Sig, and Sig on our Monday show, Sig Bloom, he suggested that he was sort of reading into the fact that Fournette was the healthy inactive to mean that McCoy and potentially not Fournette would be the quote unquote guy if Ronald Jones is out. You're saying, I think, you probably would still expect Fournette to have more value, but still not somebody who you'd really be looking to start. Is that
correct?
Fair?
Yeah, he'd fall into like the RB3 territory. I'd feel similar to him as I do probably someone like Damian Harris, where Damian Harris doesn't have any role in the passing game. He's lucky to get one target, maybe two. So if he doesn't score, he's kind of screwed. Leonard Fournette, I don't think it's that bad with him because he probably should catch a few passes in that game, but it would be RB3 territory. He's not a must start by any means, but he's someone that you'd consider just because he'd be locked into, you know, a dozen touches.
All right, back to Ronald Jones. Assuming he starts Yates, would you prefer to start Ronald Jones again against Atlanta or Zeke against San Francisco?
I would go Zeke there, but I would not be excited about it.
How about you, Tags?
Zeke.
Yep, I agree with that one. Last one, would you rather start Ronald Jones, Yates, or Wayne Gallman against Cleveland?
I'll go Gallman there.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Tags?
Same. Gallman.
All right, very good. Tags, let's get to your guy. Who's somebody outside the top 20 in ECR who you're looking to start this week?
I've really been opposed to Kareem Hunt being ranked as high as he's been over the weeks, over and over and over and over again. And then last week, obviously, it pans out, and I'm kind of like, well, damn, that sucks. But if you thought that the Browns were going to score 42 points against the Ravens, I guess I would have ranked him higher. But at the same time, this is a matchup where they really should have enough production out of both running backs. The Browns running backs have combined to average 28.1 carries per game. The Giants, meanwhile, have only faced 19.8 of them. So when you look at the numbers that they've allowed on the ground, you're kind of like, oh, that's not that great. But then you start saying the Browns are going to get carries. Like, their running backs get their carries. That's going to happen. And it's like, all right, I'm anticipating 30-plus touches for the Browns running backs in this game because, seriously, I don't know how the Giants put points on the board. I started going through that game. I wrote it up, and I don't like anybody on the Giants, to be honest with you. And even Wayne Gallman losing some goal line carries to freaking Alfred Morris and Deion Lewis. It's like you can't even have high expectations for him, which really sucks. But so basically this goes down to hating the Giants, their offense, not even know who's going to be the quarterback because it seems like Daniel Jones is probably going to miss a week. So therefore, Colt McCoy, this is a game the Browns need to win. The Browns are going to walk in there. Baker Mayfield might throw the ball 25 times. And when he does throw the ball, running backs have been targeted a ton. 22.9% of the targets against the Giants have gone to running backs. That's the most in the league. And then we did see Kareem Hunt see a season high 7 targets last week. So there's things, you know, trending in his direction, but this is more has to do with the fact that it is a uber talented run game going against a team that looks better on paper against the run than they actually are, just because there's been volume concerns against them. And to be honest with you, the Giants have been a pretty good pass defense. So I don't anticipate Baker doing a whole lot through the air. This is all about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So I have them both as top 20 running backs.
Yeah. I had the under in the Baltimore Cleveland game. So slightly missed on that one and the way that game was going to unfold. Tags, let me ask you, we mentioned him, of course. How about Melvin Gordon versus Kareem Hunt?
I have Kareem Hunt one spot higher.
How about you, Yates?
I'll still go Gordon there. I've got Gordon at 18. I've got Kareem Hunt at 21.
Okay. All right. So, but, you know, that's higher than ECR. So, Yates, you're certainly not somebody shying away from Hunt this week, right?
Yeah. I'd been on Tags' side there with Kareem Hunt and had a very similar reaction. Yep. I was like, yeah, of course that happens after we've been fading Kareem Hunt. But, right. Yeah, I think New York is not a easy defense. And so I think that you're going to see Baker try to get Kareem Hunt involved here in the receiving game. 7 targets last week, which is a significant bump up from what he had been having. And I think that we see that again this week.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with him. I have him 23rd. But again, there are two things. That's right where ECR is. And Tags, I don't know if I got your number. What number do you actually have Kareem Hunt at?
19.
Okay. So look, 19 and 23, not a huge difference really when we're looking at it. But yeah, I mean, I was not expecting that game that we got from necessarily. And I have also been fading him, you know, after we talked about it for a while. But yeah, I've got no problem starting him this week. Is it cheating if I mention Jeff Wilson here, guys? Because I imagine that Jeff Wilson is a guy. Actually, are you guys ranking Raheem Mostert to play right now? Either one of you.
When I wrote up that game, I was expecting him to play. So mm-hmm. I haven't really adjusted since then. But Jeff Wilson would be someone I'd absolutely like. If Raheem Mostert's out, which it seems like it's trending that way, I am going to move Jeff Wilson probably to RB17.
Yeah, right now he's 19th for me and I'm ranking him not playing. But my guess is I'm going to move him up because that was just kind of a ballpark sort of let me see what happens without Mostert. Because I'm assuming Mostert's going to be out in this game, right? I mean, they're probably not going to the playoffs to, you know, Mostert's dealing with it. He's got the MRI in his ankle. I don't know. Have we heard the results of the MRI yet? Because I've been looking at it. I haven't seen anything on the results yet of his MRI. But for me, I mean, he's a guy who's ranked 26. I don't even hate him there, even if Mostert plays, because I think at the very least, it's going to be difficult to see Mostert getting a full complement of snaps, a full complement of touches. And if you're going to tell me that, I mean, Tags, you kind of just mentioned it. If you're going to tell me at this point that Jeff Wilson is going to be the guy there, now he's not going to take 100% of the touches suddenly. And given that it's a Kyle Shanahan-led system, you'd probably see Tevin Coleman come in randomly and get 25 touches and Wilson get 3 or something like that. But against the Cowboys, I don't know. I'd pencil him in for probably 18 touches. I think there'd be a high likelihood of a score. So he's 26th right now in ECR. And again, I assume that takes into account some people assuming that Mostert's going to play. But he'd be a guy who I would start
So would you start moving Tevin Coleman or Jerick McKinnon anywhere near your rankings? Like, you know, if someone's borderline and they're talking about starting someone like, I don't know, let's just say like a Lynn Bowden would you consider someone like, you know, Jerick McKinnon?
No. The answer is no, and it's a firm no on that one, just because look, if you're telling me that I've got that, you know, Kyle Shanahan has come out and been like, these are the two San Francisco running backs that I'm willing to give carries to, and they are Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. And one of them goes down, basically because I am forced to, I'm going to say, okay, well, Wilson, I'm going to rank you as a starter, and I'm going to be willing to throw you out there in my semifinals. I don't care about anybody else. I'm not, you can't get me to trust another Kyle Shanahan back unless he would come out and specifically say, this is what's going to happen. And we know that that's not going to be there. So a guy like Lynn Bowden, who I know essentially probably, and we're going to talk about him a little later, who I know is going to get, you know, a minimum amount of targets just because there's nobody else out there. I would greatly prefer him to either Tevin Coleman or Jerick McKinnon. What about you, Tags? You wouldn't be willing to trust either of those guys, would you?
No, I just wanted to throw it out there as a conversation piece, just because I think some people would naturally think, well, there's been two running backs viable in the Cowboys. There could be three running backs that have actual fantasy value against them, to be fair, especially when there's a run first team, especially when Deebo Samuel's out, George Kittle's out. You know, they're just limited in their options, and teams have run the ball. I think it's like 52% of the highest percentage in the league have run the ball against Dallas. So it just, it makes a whole lot of sense for them to run the football a lot.
Like, Yates, anything on Mostert?
Nope. Didn't see anything. There's nothing as far as his results of his MRI.
And again, if he plays, I do think you can get away with Wilson as a flex, because we saw last week, even after the fumble, like he's going to get involved. You've got a decent chance at the goal line work, but I'm without question starting him if Mostert is out, and I'm doing it with a high degree of confidence, which probably means he'll get three touches on the week. All right, before we keep going, 2020 is mercifully coming to a close, which means it is time for those New Year's resolutions. And you know the usual ones, right? I'm going to work out more. Well, that usually lasts, what, a good week or two? I'm eating healthier. That's good, but then there's all that leftover dessert from the holidays. Face it, it's tough to find a way to improve yourself where you don't give it up a few days into January. But this New Year's, there's a way to make sure you're looking better and feeling better about yourself that you will definitely stick with. And that's with Manscaped and their new Perfect Package 3.0. Look, you may be thinking that keeping yourself tidy below the belt is irrelevant, but studies show that 43% of couples break up because of disputes over men's below the belt grooming. Now, that is a number that I just made up, but I put it to you to prove that that's wrong. Why take the chance? Get Manscaped's Perfect Package 3.0. So what are you getting there? The Lawnmower 3.0, a waterproof and skin-safe trimmer with a built-in light that helps prevent nicks and cuts. The Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, and the Crop Reviver ball toner spray. Manscaped is even throwing in their Shed travel bag to keep everything stored comfortably, as well as their anti-chafing boxer briefs. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use our code Yates. Say Happy New Year to your balls. Okay, let's get to wide receivers. Yates, start us up. Who's somebody who's ranked outside the top 30 who you're looking to start this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Marquise Brown here. Wide receiver 34 in ECR. I've got him at wide receiver 30, so it's not a crazy difference here. But yet, touchdowns in the last three games, even though he has struggled with drops, you're starting to see Lamar Jackson kind of bounce back here as a passer. You're starting to see Marquise Brown become more involved in this offense, and it's particularly because of this matchup. The Jaguars are allowing the sixth most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers this season. So when you take all that into account, you know that Marquise Brown has been performing here recently. You look at the matchup, you look at the targets and where else they're going in this offense. It's Mark Andrews and then no one else, right? Willie Snead, three targets. Like, that's just kind of it. So I think that you can comfortably rely on Marquise Brown as that like low end, even mid range wide receiver 3, who does present some ridiculous upside because of this matchup.
So Tags, what do you think of Brown this week? I mean, again, last week, God, you know, he's got all the drops. It looks terrible. If you're rostering him, if you're starting him, you are pulling your hair out. And then you get that huge play there once Lamar Jackson comes in the game. So how are you viewing Brown this week against Jacksonville?
I like him as a wide receiver 3. You know, he has seen 22 targets over the last 3 weeks, at least 6 targets in every single game. And that's the stat I have here, is that there have been 2 wide receivers who have finished outside the top 40 against the Jaguars while seeing more than 5 targets. So therefore, Brown is going to see that. He's always seeing that, you know, ever since he basically posted that social media, that message saying, you know, use your soldiers, whatever the hell it was. He deleted it. But Harbaugh acknowledged it and said, we need to get him more involved. And they have since that time. And he's actually performed this matchup. You know, CJ Henderson's been out for quite a while. They've been missing Sidney Jones for a while. I don't know if those guys are going to come back. But at the same time, it's not a great defense. They're just not generating any pass rush. Lamar Jackson has been getting his confidence back as a rusher and as a passer. He's completed, I think, 70% of his passes in three of his last four games. So Marquise Brown is in the wide receiver three territory. Yeah.
Yates, would you prefer to start Marquise Brown or podcast favorite Tim Patrick against Buffalo?
I'll go Brown there.
How about you, Dax?
Same, I go Brown.
I'm going Patrick there. I get it. They're right in the same range. My one worry on this is I know to the extent the Jacksonville defense has a quote-unquote strength, I guess it's their run defense, though not really anymore. It was earlier in the season. But I don't know. It just strikes me as they're just going to run nonstop with Baltimore, and I don't know if the target.
I get it. I get it, Dan. You CPAs, you guys got to stick together.
That's true. Us,
on Dan, correct. Aren't you worried? So here, I want to talk about Patrick for a minute, just because are you worried about Tim Patrick getting Tre'Davious White in coverage?
A little bit.
I think we're at the point now where Patrick's been good enough where teams aren't like, Jerry Judy's not that guy that we have to shadow. And if they're playing sides, Tim Patrick will see more of Tre'Davious White.
I am a little bit worried about that, and it might speak more to my hesitancy to go ahead and start Brown. And again, I have them two; they're right next to each other, which is why I'm asking about them necessarily. I am nervous about Tim Patrick because of that very reason. At the same time, number one, I will reiterate, and I'm sorry that I've said this so many times. I do, of course, take into account shadow matchups without question, and just the general matchups. But I rank and let that factor into my ranking a little bit less than I think most analysts do. And I get it, unless there's an absolute 100%, this guy is just going to take him away, which there are occasionally. Like if Daryl Revis in his prime was still here, I'd be like, okay, I'm completely doing that. White is fantastic. I'm not sure it would necessarily get to that point where I would completely avoid Patrick, given the fact how much they're going to need to throw in this game to try to keep up. But also, the fact is, Tags, in the end, like Tim Patrick just produces. That's all he does. Every single game, as much as I have not ranked him as somebody who I'm willing to start each and every game, the guy just produces. And yes, sometimes it's kind of fluky. Like sometimes there's the late long catch that he gets, but in the end, he produces every single week. And I don't feel as comfortable with a guy like Brown, again, slightly just based on the volume alone. But it is a great point. And I'm not jonesing to start either one of these guys, but it is something where it's a very good point and they factor in. One other guy here that I will ask you about, Yates, how about Marquise Brown or let's go Michael Pittman Jr. against Houston?
Oh, I will go with Brown there slightly. I've got Marquise Brown at 30. I've got Michael Pittman Jr. at 33.
How about you, Tags?
I would also go with Brown.
Yes, I would too. Okay, let's go to Tags. Somebody outside your top 30 who you're looking to start at wide receiver.
I'm not really excited about so many guys in that range just because I feel like you have to go deeper and then it's more of into a risk reward territory. But I think T. Higgins is someone that you could actually play. He hasn't been exciting with Brandon Allen under center, but he's finished as the wide receiver 24, wide receiver 50, and wide receiver 53. But he has a floor of four catches and 43 yards, I think it was, in every single game, or 44, five catches and 44 yards in every single game, at least. So it's giving you a 9.4 PPR point floor. That's fine. Pittsburgh has been a devastating run defense. They're not going to move the ball with Giovanni Bernard, Travion Williams, whatever. They're not moving the ball on the ground. Let's just be honest about that. The Steelers are going to run away with this game. And if you go back to their first matchup, he caught 7 of 9 targets against the Steelers for 115 yards and a touchdown. And you might be like, well, that was with Joe Burrow. It's true, and I'm not expecting that. Otherwise, we'd be ranking T. Higgins as a top 20 wide receiver this week. But the Steelers this year, according to Football Outsiders DVOA metric, where they basically take competition into consideration when they rank it all, number one wide receivers, which is what T. Higgins is to that team, that the Steelers rank as the 10th best matchup for number one wide receivers. So you look at Stephon Diggs last week. I know they were without Joe Hayden, but this team has really struggled with wide receivers. The production that they do allow is going to wide receivers. They completely shut down tight ends. They don't allow anything on the ground game. So unless you think that the Bengals are just going to finish with, 80 yards of total offense, I think you have to find out where that production is going. And T. Higgins has been a consistent for Brandon Allen. And again, in tough matchups, he had the Dolphins last week. I feel like T. Higgins is just a decent floor guy outside the top 30.
All right. So where do you have him ranked actually, Tags, this week? Because he is 41st, I believe, in ECR.
I have him at 36.
Okay. So would you rather start T. Higgins or Antonio Brown against Atlanta?
I have Antonio Brown three spots higher. I don't even feel great about that. Atlanta is a matchup that's so hard to pass up. Right.
How about DJ Chark against Baltimore or T. Higgins?
Chark is right there next to him. So okay. It's legitimately a toss-up, and that's something I might change as the day goes on. Just yep. with Minshew under center, I definitely want to think that Chark has a better shot of finishing. I don't know. I feel like the ceiling's probably higher with Chark, but you're taking on more risk by starting him.
Yeah. All right. It's what about you? How do you feel about Higgins? I get tons of questions. I don't know about you guys in the start sit shows about, you know, basically all Bengals wide receivers. And I just always feel uncomfortable with wherever I have them ranked. Gates, how do you feel about Higgins this week?
Yeah, I've got him at 37. And it's so funny, Dan. Was it last week that we said, can we just trademark the 5 for 56 line as like, yes. You know, a T. Higgins? And so he did it again. The last three games, 5 for 44, 5 for 56, and 5 for 49. So I guess we have a trend here that we can fall back on and rely on. So yeah, I think he's a safe option. Really, I really don't see much room for upside here. But yeah, I absolutely think that he's at least in the conversation.
Yeah. All right. So for me, my guy is going to be Nelson Agholor. And the bottom line is just this game has an over under of 53. Okay. And the targets with Henry Ruggs out, whatever the matchup, doesn't really matter. They're not all going to go to Darren Waller. That's just not the way it's necessarily going to be. And again, with Agholor, if he's going to see the targets now, Tags, you and I talked about this a bit on the Start Sit show. Originally, it was, well, Nelson Agholor is producing, but he's not getting the targets. Now he is getting the targets. The production isn't over there, but over the last four games, 9, 6, 11, 9, he's just a guy who, again, they're going to need points to put up here. Agholor is going to see enough workload. And, you know, he still has the dropsies and whatever the matchup, but he, you know, in the end, I'm going to follow the targets on this one. So for me, him being ranked, I believe, as the 37th wide receiver this week in half ECR, it's a little lower than where I have him. So I'd like to get actually Tags' thoughts. What do you think about Agholor here? It's a Thursday night game. How are you feeling about him coming into this one?
I have him at 38, right behind T. Higgins. So I think he's in that range where I think he's more of a risk-reward play, where you understand the risk that you're taking by putting him in your lineup, because there has been games where you think he's going to get targeted, and then he walks away with like one or two targets. But knowing that Ruggs is out for this game, you have
That's what does it for me, to be clear. If Ruggs were in this game, I was much less bullish about Aguilar's prospect. But with him out, that's what does it for me. I'm sorry, Tyson.
No, for sure. And one player that I would say that I was actually going to bring up later in the show, but I probably should have brought up for this segment, is Russell Gage. Mm-hmm. So Julio Jones appears like he's going to be out, because Raheem Morris came out today and said
he might be done for the year.
That he's week to week. Yeah. I mean, dude, it's week 15. Come on. I mean, he's not week to week anymore. You guys are out of the playoffs. So I don't think he's going to play. Russell Gage has seen a bump in targets. Him and Calvin Ridley are the ones that have benefited from Julio Jones being out of the lineup, because Ridley's, you know, his target volume goes up. Sure, he sees a number one corner, but Calvin Ridley's just as good as that number one cornerback. And Russell Gage is seeing a lot of those dump offs, whereas Hayden Hurst, there's something going on with him. I basically tried to figure out like what was the connecting thing where, you know, why did Hayden Hurst the last 3 weeks, why has he struggled? He did pop up on the injury report those 3 weeks ago, and it's like, is there an injury there that basically has slowed him down? But regardless, he hasn't played very well without Julio in the lineup. They have zero run game. Todd Gurley's not going to do anything on the ground against Tampa Bay. So Russell Gage, if Julio Jones is out, I think we have to start thinking about Russell Gage as a top, maybe top 30 option in that Cole Beasley territory.
Yeah, I think that's a good point right now, because have you ranked him right now, Tags, with Julio Jones playing?
I had him with Julio, and that was 42, but I was, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, all right, I would probably move him right around that Jarvis Landry, Cole Beasley territory if Julio was out.
I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because yeah, I had him 39th right now, but that's with Julio. And so if you take Julio out of the game, I do think that borderline top 30 status is probably where he's going to wind up going in that game against the Bucks. What do you think, Gates, about Gage, assuming that Julio is indeed out as we now expect?
Yeah, I've got him at 40 right now. But I do think that as we move throughout the week and we get that official confirmation, that's when he'll move up my rankings. A lot of these, it's Wednesday, right? So a lot of these players are just stuck in limbo. You know, with a lot of the running backs, we talked about Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. Those guys are just stuck in limbo in my rankings right now. But as we get more information on Julio and we get, okay, he's officially out for this game, that Gage probably move up into that territory. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. While we're doing this podcast, almost with 100% certainty, I'm going to make a move in one of my leagues to pick up Russell Gage. So how are we doing like that? Live moves coming up here. Let's go to quarterback. Somebody outside the top 12 in ECR, Yates, who are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I'm a little confused by this one, and I've been been standing on the table for him, and it doesn't feel great. But yet, Mitchell Trubisky is QB17 in ECR. I've got him at QB12, guys. Trubisky has 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in the past 3 games. He's finished as the QB6, the QB24 and the QB7. And I think we can all acknowledge in that QB24 game, that was just because the touchdowns went 2 to David Montgomery and 1 to Cordarrelle Patterson. That happens when you're looking at streaming quarterback and some of these matchups, right? It's just a matter of where the touchdowns end up going. That happens with any quarterback, right? So I think with Mitchell Trubisky, though, the matchup here against Minnesota, Minnesota is allowing 7.2 yards per pass attempt this season and 256.6 passing yards per game. So Trubisky has a fantastic matchup here. He's looking really, really good here recently. And this offense has shifted to utilizing his strengths, getting him out on the move, play action boots, like just utilizing his athleticism and allowing him to throw on the run, which he's always excelled at. So it's been a change in offensive philosophy, and they're putting up points. I want pieces of this too, so of this game. So I think Mitchell Trubisky is someone that you can absolutely look at and continue to plug in as a streaming option.
Tags, what do you think about Trubisky?
Oh, I don't know. I feel about little Mitchie Poo. you know what's crazy? Trubisky has thrown 3 touchdowns in half of his starts this year, which is just crazy. I mean, I don't know. The Bears have totaled 25, 30, and 36 points over the last 3 weeks. But Trubisky, I've talked about this before, and he's like a creature of habit. And, you know, every time Yates, when he goes to play the Lions, everybody is like, why do you have him ranked so high? And I'm like, because he dominates the Lions every single time. Matt Patricia's right. Defense, it's just he had their number. And Mike Zimmer, he hasn't. If you go back and look through the games against the Vikings, Trubisky has not thrown a touchdown, I don't think, in the last 3 starts against them. He's never thrown for more than 207 yards against this team in 6 career games against them. So that's my concern here. Now, sure, the Vikings defense isn't what they were in years past.
Yeah, thank you.
But I started going through that. Like 2000, they were the 9th, 12th, and 11th pass in terms of against quarterbacks. This year, they're 15th. So it's not like they're middle of the pack. The reason I want to like Trubisky a little bit more is because I am down on David Montgomery. I don't like David Montgomery nearly as much as the consensus does this week. I think people are going to be let down because I seen him. He's ranked, I think, as the RB8 or RB9 on the week. I think we go back to David Montgomery that people are like, oh, yeah, there's the guy that was there all year long that we played because he got volume. Sure, I have him as an RB2, to be fair, but I think people are going to be let down by his performance in this game. So I do want to like Trubisky a little bit more. But when you factor in the Vikings, the strength of schedule that they've had to this point, you look at their schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and they're actually the 9th toughest matchup when you factor everything in. So Trubisky, I'm hesitant to be in on him this week.
All right, Tex, where do you have Trubisky actually ranked?
I have it 19.
Oh, okay. That's so I think you can probably break the tie. Yates, we talked about it yesterday on the waiver wire live stream. We had not done even our first cut of our week 15 rankings, but we were talking about Hurts and Trubisky. You said that you expected you would rank Trubisky higher than Hurts. Did you wind up doing that?
Yes, we'll talk about Hurts in a little bit.
Oh, okay. So then, well, I'll save it then for Tags to break the tie, but we'll save that then. That's fine. For what it's worth, I sort of fall in between you two. I have Trubisky right now at 14th, so I'm not entirely fading him. I think there is a way you could start him, but he's not somebody who's going to fall within my guaranteed locked in starting quarterbacks this week. And I think expert consensus ranking has him at 17. So I'm a little more excited about him than ECR, but Tags is fading him a little bit. Tags, let's get to your guy who's outside the top 12 in ECR, who you're looking to start this week.
Jared Goff. I mean, I posted a tweet last week before that Thursday night game. And I said, hey, if you're one that streams quarterbacks, go out there and grab Jared Goff right now. Because people dropped in there playing against the Patriots. It didn't make sense to play him there. But this matchup against the Jets is just so damn good. You know, people could talk about, well, the game script's going to be a problem and this and that. Well, if they're going to blow out the Jets, they need to put points on the board. And the bottom line is that teams, running backs have not been that great against the Jets. I mean, if you start breaking that down, and there's a reason that Cam Akers is not like a top 5 running back play this week, because the Jets have not allowed tons and tons of production. Now, there's been a lot of volume, and I do expect Akers to be in that, you know, high end RB2 conversation. But the reason is that everybody throws against the Jets, and yes, the Jets suck. And yes, the Jets are not going to put points on the board. And yes, there's going to be game script concerns. That's been the case all year long. Yet they've still allowed 295 passing yards per game and a league high 28 passing touchdowns. So Jared Goff, you know, Sean McVay is a smart guy, right? Sean McVay, I always say this, is that these coaches understand what they have to do. The Rams are going into the playoffs. Now, do they need Jared Goff to have sky high confidence, or do they need him to just hand the ball off every single game, like all the time? they need him to play well. They need a confidence builder. This is that matchup that you can do it in against the Jets. Even if he throws an interception, you can't. It's not like you're going to get too down on him because the Jets aren't going to score. So it doesn't even matter. They have a 30.5 point team implied total. I am starting Jared Goff this week.
Okay. What does that mean? What does I am starting Jared Goff mean? Where is he in your rankings?
I have him as my number 11 quarterback right now.
Jared Goff or Tom Brady?
Oof, I have Brady one spot higher, but I might change that as the week goes on, though, because Brady has not looked particularly good. But again, it's Atlanta, but the Jets are like the same thing. So I'm really torn on that one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make that very decision in a playoff matchup. So I'm just going to keep asking you that once every day, and okay, then you're going to make the decision for me. How about Jared Goff or Taysom Hill against KC?
I'll go Goff.
Final one, Goff or Deshaun Watson against Indianapolis.
And you see, I have Watson right in front of Brady and Goff. So I guess it's Watson, but I would not fault anyone if they wanted to play Brady or Goff over him.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about game script concerns. I certainly had those concerns last week. Russell Wilson threw 4 touchdown passes. How about you, Yates? How do you feel about Goff this week?
Going into it, I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I really want to roll the dice with Jared Goff because Seattle's been playing a lot better. Their secondary's been playing a lot better here the past 3 weeks. And then I went and looked at their matchups, and I was like, oh, that's why. looking at Seattle has played Sam Darnold and the Jets. I think that you absolutely looking at, he mentioned it, right? And as far as the running game, and I think that we're going to talk about Cam Akers in a little bit because I'm going to talk about him and what Tags mentioned as far as the running game. You exploit the Jets through the passing game. Absolutely. So I think that it's a good game for Jared Goff. And the thing with Jared Goff is that the way that you disrupt him is that you create pressure, right? You create pressure up the middle, and that's what forces him to create these performances where he turns the ball over multiple times. That's not going to happen here with the Jets, unfortunately. They just cannot generate pressure. So, yeah, I think that Jared Goff's... I've got him at 14. I could absolutely see moving him up, though.
Yep, I've got him at 12 right now. But, again, it's very close. Again, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff are my 10, 11, 12. They're right there. I could see that easily flipping by the time the week is over. Yates, let's go to tight end. Who's somebody outside the top 12 who you're looking to start this week?
Man, this was so hard because it was like, I do not like any of these options.
Right.
I think you can absolutely consider both of the Rams tight ends as far as Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, but I didn't want to really like stake my, because it's hard to figure out which one specifically. Right. So I'll go back to Cole Kmet, tight end 17 in ECR, tight end 13 in my rankings, 7 targets in back-to-back games. We talked about the offense that's been putting up points here recently, and I have as one of my bullet points here, the tight end position is gross. So I think that you can absolutely just look at Cole Kmet because of his involvement in this offense and hope that he finds the end zone.
Tags, I believe you mentioned Kmet on our waiver wire show, right? As somebody who you kind of liked coming into this week?
Yeah, I think Kmet, I was waiting for his role to grow, and I know that he didn't put up the big totals and that Graham got the touchdown, but basically we saw his snap count get to a career high, 85% last week. Graham has dipped to fewer than 50% of the snaps in each of the last 3 games. So while Graham did steal a touchdown, it's Kmet that's seen 14 targets over the last 2 weeks. And the Vikings, while they haven't seen a whole lot of tight end targets this year, when they have seen tight end targets, they've allowed 8.34 yards per target. That's more than every team not named the Jets or the Jaguars. So it is a good matchup, and I do like Kmet. I have him at 14, so I kind of dig this call.
Yeah. Was he the guy who you were thinking of, Tags, or do you have somebody else in mind? By the way, I also have Kmet at 14, and he's 17th in ECR. Yates, what was your number on him?
13.
Yeah, so we're all there. We're all ahead of him. Then ECR. Go ahead, Tags. Who's your guy?
Well, I had Noah Fant, but now I'm seeing that it moved to 11, so I feel like I'm cheating by saying him, but yeah. I'm going to stick with it anyway. I don't really even care. I'm willing to play Noah Fant against Buffalo. We talked about Tim Patrick and the fact that we are worried about the Tre'Davious White matchup. You know, their secondary has played better as of late, but tight ends have been a weakness for them all year long. Fant is... As long as he's in the lineup, because he was dealing with a virus or something like that, I'm still mad that he was kind of ruled out after just a couple snaps. But 6 of 7 tight ends who have totaled 6+ targets against the Bills have finished as a tight end 1. So I do believe that Fant belongs in that territory, provided that he's over this illness and he's practicing in full by the end of the week.
Right. That is something. Again, fantasy managers, don't hold grudges. Get over it. I know it's bad. If you had Fant and you survived, same thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire a couple of weeks ago. You just got to keep moving forward. Let's go to our top sits of the week. Let's start at running back. And Yates, based on your previous comments, we're talking about guys who are within the top 20. Are we talking about Cam Akers here?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Cam Akers, and it's not necessarily just like I have him just a few spots off of ECR, but it's very difficult to look inside the top 20 and say like sit any of these guys, right? As far as the, like don't play them whatsoever. So this is more so just about like, hey, let's pump the brakes. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I really don't know if you know that we had a St. Bernard just a little bit ago. We rehomed her after we had Landon, my son, and then my wife was in grad school. So we had a St. Bernard and we rehomed her to our in-laws. But if you don't know anything about a St. Bernard, they're a big ass dog. And when you are walking this dog, if this dog sees something that it wants to go after, guess what? You're going with it. And no matter how much you pull and strain, no matter how much you like plant your feet into the pavement, you are going where this dog wants to go. And that's how I feel about Cam Akers' ECR this week. It is just a runaway St. Bernard all the way up at RB10 in ECR. I've got him at RB15. So to be fair, I still think that he is a solid start, but yet I'm not to the point where I'm saying he is a locked in RB1. The Jets have allowed one 100-yard rusher this season. They're top four in the NFL with only allowing 3.9 yards per carry. And Nando DeFino put out on Twitter earlier that they've only given up two rushing touchdowns to RBs, to running backs, since week six. So with Cam Akers, when you are starting him all the way up at RB10, you are completely betting on him getting 25 plus touches again, because the efficiency is probably not going to be here in a tough matchup. He's not involved much in the receiving game, and our running backs are not finding the end zone with regularity against this defense. So, this isn't even taken into account what happens if Sean McVay, now I'm not projecting this, but what happens if Sean McVay comes out here and goes, hey, you know what? We're going to give Cam Akers 15 carries this week. We're going to give Daryl Henderson 9. We're going to give Malcolm Brown 3, but we'll give him 2 targets, right? Like, just what happens that has to be taken into account too. So I want to pump the brakes here with Cam Akers a little bit and say, let's not go crazy here. Let's not get him up into the RB1 territory. I still think that he's a mid-range running back too. That does come with some risk.
Okay, number one, highly endorse the analogy that takes a while to get there, that I have no idea where you're going with it for most of it, and then at the end you come through. That's my exact type of analogy. Way to go, Yates. Number two, let's throw it over to you, Tags. I guess it's a two-part question. Number one, are we out of the woods with the risk that we're going to get Sean McVay at this point? It's going to be like, oh, sorry, no, that was just that one, just game script. We're going back to Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown. And number two, even if not, we talk about how the Jets' run defense is not nearly as bad as people probably think it is because the team is terrible. Are you willing to start Cam Akers this week? Go ahead.
Yeah, the Jets, when you look at weighted opportunity and what they've faced in terms of per touch, they are the 9th toughest run defense out there against running backs. Not even run defense, overall against running backs in a weighted opportunity standpoint. So it's not a great matchup. And, you know, I always go back to that quote that McVay said this offseason, where he said he wants to model his run game after Kyle Shanahan. And it's a smart thing to do, don't get me wrong, because Kyle Shanahan obviously always has a good run game. But at the same time, it could be frustrating for fantasy owners, and especially in a game like this, right? We talked about Goff. We talked about the fact that this game is a crazy positive game script for them, where they're favored to win by, I think, 17 points now. So it's possible that they say, hey, we've been preserving Cam Akers all year long. Why the hell would we use and abuse him now? I mean, it was a very important game on last Thursday night. And now that's the part that makes me lean in a little bit to it, to say, well, you know, he got 29 touches or 31 touches
31,
in that game?
31, yeah, 31 touches
in that game that they were clearly well ahead. You know, that game was never in doubt, in my opinion. So that's the part that makes me be like, okay, maybe they are going to ride Akers because they want to keep, you know, Daryl Henderson fresh to eventually bring him in. There are some question marks, Yates, and I love the fact that you bring up the non-0% possibility that it is a game where they give Cam Akers 15 touches and then do 8 to Henderson, whatever, right? And that the wide receivers score a lot of touchdowns, because that should happen. I have Akers just one spot lower than ECR, just because it's basically you look at the running backs in that territory and you say, there's question marks about a lot of them. So I understand that one, and I do think that people underestimate the Jets. And by the way, the Jets, despite how bad they've been this year, they've only allowed 5 RB1 performances. So it's basically one every 3 games. And they've only allowed 5 RB2 performances. So that's 10 top 24 running backs through 13 games. Not even one per game. So just keep it in mind.
By the way, I'm very glad that it was the constant, here are all the question marks we have, here are the things that we don't really like, I'm not really sure about this, and yes, I have him ranked as the RB11 on the week, because I knew that's where you were going, Tags, because that's exactly how I feel. And that's where I have him as well, that you said 11th, right?
Yep.
Right. That's where I am too. And Yates, I think everything you're bringing up, absolutely correct. And I don't feel overly confident in starting him as a borderline RB1, but I'm still doing it because there are question marks as we get into sort of every other player. And I know how bad, you know, the Jets are, but I felt like it was a little bit of the same thing with Chris Carson last week, right? Where, well, he scored a receiving touchdown, so you want to say whatever, but I just feel like in this game, given what the game script is going to be, he's a guy who I can't really get away from. And again, Yates, you're not saying actually get away from him, right? Correct. You just have him ranked, what, 15th, you said?
15th, yep.
Yeah, so that's a surefire start. But yeah, I do completely understand, and I think that at the very least, fantasy managers need to be aware of the risks, both of the possibility that McVay is just going to be like, this is a game we've got in hand, so we're going to spread it out, or however he wants to do it. And also that the Jets defense, the rush defense, is not nearly as bad as probably the casual fantasy manager thinks it is. Let's go to you, Tags. Who's somebody who you're fading a little bit this week in the top 20?
All right. So we usually get to this segment, this portion of it, and we, and I say, yeah, I don't like him so much, but you're probably starting him. This is a guy I might not want to start. And he's ranked all the way at 18. And that's James Conner. You know, it came out on Monday that, or Tuesday, I don't even know. The days get mixed up at this point. But it came out that James Conner is dealing with a quad injury. And I think it's convenient after he gets 18 yards on 10 carries that they say that. Now, it's not just a one-game sample size where James Conner has struggled. It's been quite an ongoing thing for him recently. Even going back to the Week 10 matchup against this Bengals team that everybody wants to run the ball against. I get it. I believe me, when I started writing up Conner this week, and I thought, yeah, he's going to be a running back you want to play. But the more you look at it, the more you're kind of like, I don't know, because the Steelers are a team that even in positive game scripts, they're throwing the ball 58% of the time. That's the second most in the NFL. On top of that, their offensive line is getting zero push. We've talked about this before. 1.07 yards before contact is what they're getting. James Conner is not a guy that's been breaking a whole lot of tackles. He looks run down, to be honest with you. I don't know if COVID took a toll on him, but he looks like he's dealing with something. And this has been a common theme with him over the years, to where we get towards the end of the year, whenever he got in that workhorse role, it's almost like he wore down. This same exact Bengals defense, when James Conner was healthy in week 10, he rushed 13 times for 36 yards. He caught two passes for 12 yards. This game's on Monday night, right? And we have to worry about this quad thing. We have to worry about them dialing back his reps because he is dealing with that quad injury. I don't like him at all. Even if he plays, I have him at 28. I would probably rather play someone like Nyheim Hines than James Conner this week.
I'm so mad that you have him ranked that low, Tags, because I was like, oh yeah, ECR 18. I have him 26th, which is basically what almost always happens on this podcast. I have Hines ranked ahead of him. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely with you. Now, if Conner is out and Snell plays, I would feel much more comfortable starting Benny Snell in this matchup than I would if James Conner, even if we figure out that he's going to play, because Snell looks, it's not like Snell has looked, he hasn't been a world beater.
The offensive line's
like
a problem.
The offensive line, you mentioned it, zero push. Now, Tags, for me, I certainly see the scenario coming into this game where it's like, okay, look, we cannot do this at this point because this, what we have where Ben gets the ball out in 2 seconds and they're all short passes, like, looks like defenses might have caught on to this a little bit. We can't run the game. We've got to figure out a way to establish this running game. It's a great spot to do that against Cincinnati. Let's try to do that. I can certainly see that scenario going. We're saying we have to try to get this worked out. But even so, I can't trust Conner. I just can't. I will look for any other reasonable option. Yates, are you fading him as much as Tags and I are?
I've got him at 25. I actually would be very surprised if he suits up in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if he does, I'm just avoiding. I mean, I'll let me throw a couple names out there, guys. James Conner, because I'm going to talk about the guys who are ranked right. I have ranked right ahead of him. James Conner, Tags, or Wayne Gallman against Cleveland?
Gallman.
Yates.
Gallman.
How about Hines, Yates? Because Tags and I both said we'd start Hines. Hines against Houston or James Conner?
I would still start Conner. I'm not confident in Hines. Did I miss something? Like, why,
I'm not confident,
why do you
but
guys
he actually
have
has a ceiling.
Right. Okay. Yes.
You guys, like, when you guys both said Hines, I was like, crap, what did I miss? Like, I missed some sort of news.
It's Houston.
What did
that's,
he do?
That's it.
It's Houston. Yeah. Hines is 25th in ECR. I'm 26th, and Tags has Conner 28th. So that's what all you've missed. But no, I mean, in the end, he'll get his touches. Wilkins is at, again, this is not turning into a start your Nyheim Hines. Certainly not. But it's more of a fade. That's how much we're fading James Conner. So we're all on the same page. That was definitely my guy. Let's go to wide receiver here, Yates. Let's talk about somebody within the top 30 then that you're looking to fade a little bit this week. Who you got?
Yeah, let's stick with the Steelers. Let's talk about Chase Claypool. Wide receiver 28 in ECR. I've gotten down at wide receiver 36 going from 36 routes run in week 12 to 22 in week 13 and then 23 in week 14. And that 23 might be a little bit skewed because of Deontay Johnson being benched. So what happens if Deontay Johnson actually comes back and is a full starter in this, you know, offense? You're seeing, meanwhile, James Washington has seen his routes run jump up from 16 total routes run in week 12 to 29 and 31 each of the past 2 weeks. So he's now passed Chase Claypool in this offense. We've talked about it. So I think if you are starting Chase Claypool as a top 30 receiver, you are completely betting on him reeling in a deep touchdown. And that's just not a place that I'm really comfortable being. So I've got him down at wide receiver 36 while his ECR is 28.
How about you, Tags?
I want to give a shout out real quick to listener Paul B. I'm not going to give out your last name, Paul, because I don't want to do that. But I just want to say thank you for sending me. He actually linked me an article because he heard us talking about in the podcast about Claypool's snaps being, you know, demoted, and we were kind of wondering what happened there. So he forwarded me a link to Mike Tomlin interview where he basically said that he doesn't want Chase Claypool hitting a rookie wall. Not that he's hit that wall, but he just wants to make sure that he doesn't get overworked and that they're keeping his snaps in check. So that's basically what it's come down to. However, he's only seen fewer than six targets once. I mean, it was one game where he didn't see that. And there's been games here or there where Juju gets there. There's games where Deontay Johnson got there against the Ravens earlier this year. So I don't want to panic too much. I do understand the thought behind it, but this is a matchup where obviously the Steelers have the Bengals number. All three of the Steelers wide receivers, the last time they played, finished as top 12 options. You can't make this stuff up. Like, I didn't think that was possible in a game, but they all finished as top 12 options. Claypool caught four balls for 56 yards, two of them being touchdowns against the secondary. Now, to be fair, they were down one starting cornerback for that game, which the Steelers, rightfully so, they took advantage of that. But I don't want to totally freak out. I have Claypool at 28. I'm not extremely confident in him, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to forget about him because he still has seen six targets, I think, in seven of the last eight games or something like that.
I'm on Team Yates here. I have him 34th. That's, you know, not quite as, I think you said 36, Yates,
yep.
Mm-hmm. But I'm 34th. Yeah, first of all, rookie wall, come on, man. I mean, the guy is playing at such a high level, and you've lost the last two games, okay? Maybe you should think about getting him in there. And Tags, even if you've got three wide receivers that go off against the Bengals, how do we know that it's going to be Claypool as a third one and not James Washington, who's caught touchdowns the last two games? That's what worries me a little bit with Claypool. And again, I am in a league that, I reference this a lot because I'm so weak at my second wide receiver spot. And every week now I'm looking at like, well, I really want to start Chase Claypool, but I picked up Russell Gage. Maybe I should do that. I have Tim Patrick and trying to choose. I want it to be Claypool. I want Claypool to be that guy. But this, you know, the fact that his snaps are down so much, and I get that, yeah, he was still kind of seeing the targets, but it makes me worried, Tags. Yeah. I mean, we all have him wide receiver three, but I definitely am lower on him, I think.
No, it's fair, and you guys bring up good points, and I think that there's an argument to be made for him to be outside the top 36 wide receivers. There's also obviously an argument to be made for him to be inside the top 30, but I could definitely see it though.
All right, Tags, who is somebody who's in your top 30 who you're fading a little bit?
I mean, this is going to Yates. This is like Yates territory here, where he basically went bold on it. So I'm like, well, screw it. Let's talk about a guy that I am worried about. Tyler Lockett.
He
has finished with fewer than 13 PPR points in seven of his last 10 games. So I don't want to say a mini rant, but it's something. I get so sick when people tell me this player finished as this is a wide receiver 10 in 2017. He was a wide receiver one. That is the stupidest argument that you could bring to the table. I swear to God, because you look at Tyler Lockett. Lockett is not a wide receiver one in fantasy. But on the season, he's the wide receiver 10 right now. Do you know how many weeks he's actually finished as a wide receiver one? Stop it. Stop doing that, guys. But looking at the matchup here against Washington, they've allowed the third fewest wide receiver points per target in coverage, behind only the Rams and the Ravens. DK Metcalf is the guy who's going to get his. He's got his all year, no matter the matchup. But when you look at this matchup against Washington and you say, what's the best matchup on the field? Is there a reason? Because it's almost like we have to start finding a reason to trust Tyler Lockett in fantasy lineups rather than look for a reason to avoid him, right? Jimmy Moreland has played extremely well in the slot. On 59 targets in his coverage, he's allowed just 366 yards, no touchdowns. He's allowed just 6.2 yards per target. The best performances by slot receivers against them this year have been Tyler Boyd caught 9 passes for 85 yards, Larry Fitzgerald 7 catches for 50 yards, and Cooper Kupp 5 catches for 66 yards. Let's not pretend that those numbers are great. None of those guys scored. Tyler Boyd had a, you know, that's basically a wide receiver 2-3 type performance. So when I see Tyler Lockett up in the rankings at 17, I'm kind of like, what warrants this? You know what I mean? Like, that's my concern. I don't really get that one. I have him outside the top 20. I have him at 23 right now, and I want to lower him even more. I'm officially worried about him. And if I have someone like T.Y. Hilton, I would start T.Y. Hilton over him this week.
All right, so we're getting a little long here, but I do have to point out, Yates, I'm sure you saw it too, because I know we always do. It is a podcast that we are doing, so there is always breaking news, and that is that Hollywood Brown, and as well as Miles Boykin, but Hollywood Brown is really the guy, has been put on the reserve COVID-19 list. Rap just tweeted that out. So now you know when we do our podcast. You can go check the timestamp on Rap's tweet. But that is something. We talked about Hollywood Brown. We're going to leave it in, okay? Because that's what we do. But yeah, we talked about Hollywood Brown earlier. So fantasy managers should know that. I mean, you know what? We'll get into the implications. Yeah, it's book Friday, okay? Friday, we're going to get into the implications of what we're going to do with the Baltimore receivers. Tags, as for Lockett, I've got him 24th. I completely agree. What's Tags, do you think he's finding an injury? Because I feel like you floated that maybe a little bit on our Sunday recap show or something. One of you guys has floated that. Is it possible that you think he's fighting an injury?
I don't. You know, there's been times in the past where he's struggled to play through injuries, so you do wonder that.
Right,
but there's been some big play.
Stop.
There's,
stop. What? Stop. Stop.
Yep. Yep.
Ronald Jones has now been placed on the COVID-19 list.
Yay! Fun show,
what,
boys.
What? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So here's the. I'm sorry that I interrupted you, Tex. Okay, so here's what we've got. Okay, this is you know,
this is the worst.
Playing a little jazz. No big deal. Okay, for Baltimore. Okay, we talked about Hollywood Brown. You can forget about that. Okay, when you go back and listen to this. Three more times like I do, a four time minimum listen for any podcast. Fast forward through that part because we don't know to the extent there are any Ravens wide receiver that you'll want to start. We will talk about that later, but I do think that there's going to be 8 billion rushing attempts in this game by the Ravens. As for, we talked a little bit, good job by us, talking about Ronald Jones and what we would do. You can hear that earlier. We probably only have about 10 minutes left in this podcast, maybe 15, so hopefully there will be no more breaking news. I apologize. So Tags, we don't know whether or not he's fighting an injury. I haven't seen anything, but I agree I have him 24th. And sometimes, by the way, Tags, I think with Lockett, that might be too high. Like, what are we just sitting on this 200-yard game against Arizona and saying, you know, here's what it is? So even for me, 24 sometimes feels a little high. Yates, what do you think here about Tyler Lockett?
I've literally got him at 24 as well. So that's crazy. I think that he is no longer someone who we can view as a locked in start every single week. This is a very tough matchup. I'm concerned about Russell Wilson too. And if that's the case, then I've got to be concerned about Tyler Lockett. So, yeah, I think he's a low-end wide receiver, too, that absolutely could crush your lineup this week.
Look, the three of us are in agreement, so you know we're right. Let's go to quarterback, Yates. Who's somebody who's within the top 12 who you're fading a little bit?
Yeah, here? So I'm going to fly through this one. So it's Jalen Hurts, quarterback 12 in ECR, QB 17 in my rankings. Here's my concern. We just saw Jalen Hurts put up a great performance up against a very, very stout defense in New Orleans. My concern here, and what I went back and watched the tape on, is that I saw the New Orleans edge defenders continuously crash inside, right? Create pressure inside. And what that did for Jalen Hurts was allow him to be able to just simply go, okay, I'll roll out, utilize my athleticism, and just create after the, you know, or extend the play with my legs, pick up the rushing yardage there and on a scramble. And so what I think you're going to see here from a talented defensive coordinator, a very smart defensive coordinator in Vance Joseph, is they're going to say, all right, we're going to set contain on the edges. We're going to tell our edge defenders, just keep him contained in the pocket, and we're going to force him to beat us as a passer. And now what you can also do is don't forget that Arizona has Isaiah Simmons and Buda Baker on their defense, who are two athletic freaks. What you could absolutely see is Isaiah Simmons sitting in the middle of the field and Vance Joseph just say, you've got the middle of the field. When the play breaks down, chase down Jalen Hurts. And so based on Isaiah Simmons being 6'4", what, 240, running a 4.4 flat, I think we could absolutely see him succeed in that. So you're going to see designed runs. You're going to see Jalen Hurts pick up some rushing yardage. I'm not saying that he's someone that you should completely avoid this week. I've still got him in the streaming conversation, but ECR is jumping way ahead and saying, yeah, we're starting this rookie quarterback up against a talented defense here. And we've got in week 15, right? Such a crucial week. I'm pumping the brakes here and saying, hey, he's a streaming quarterback. I would only go to him if you absolutely have no other better options. And I would start Mitchell Trubisky above Jalen Hurts this week.
Tags, Yates and I debated this on the waiver wire live stream. So break the tie. How do you feel about Hurts this week?
I'm probably in the middle between you guys. I feel like he's better than Yates is making him out to be in terms of the play against the Cardinals. Looking at the Saints defense in terms of what they had done with quarterbacks, they came into that game allowing the fewest rushing yards to quarterbacks. I think it was 68 rushing yards to quarterbacks coming into that game. In that game, so even if the scheme was incorrect on the Saints part, he rushed the ball 18 times. That is the league high for quarterbacks. Like that, it's higher than Cam Newton. It's higher than Lamar Jackson. It's higher than all those. Kyler Murray, all of them. Okay, 18 times. The next highest was 16. So when you have a quarterback who's basically rushing like a running back would, a good running back at that 18 carries, you're like, well, that's obviously really good for his floor. And then you add in the fact that the Cardinals this year have allowed the fifth most rushing yards to quarterbacks. You know, Russell Wilson rushed for over 40 yards against them two times. You know, that you obviously want to contain someone like Russell Wilson. They couldn't do it. Josh Allen, 38 yards rushing. Cam Newton, 46 yards rushing. So they have tons of rushing production to quarterbacks this year. So when you look at that, you're like, okay, there's the floor. So anything you get through the air is going to be basically on top of that. That's the part that you actually have to worry about. I think Jalen Hurts offers a really, really solid floor as a streamer. I don't think he has a ceiling to finish as a top five quarterback because he's just not there as a passer just yet. But yeah, I like him.
So where do you have him ranked exactly?
Exactly. I have him, I think it's at QB 13 or 14. Yeah, QB 14.
Okay. I've got him 13, but Yates, just to sort of hammer the point home, I mentioned earlier, I have Hates 13. I have Trubisky 14. So not crazy for me to say, oh, I'd prefer to start Mitchell Trubisky over Jalen Hurts. But I do think he's somebody, again, both these guys are slightly outside the top 12, but people who I think you can start and get away with it if you have to. How about you, Tags, within the top 12?
I mean, this Jalen Hurts is actually, he's ECR's inside the top 12 by him outside of there. But if you want me to just say someone I'm actually a little bit worried about in terms of expectations, it'd be Russell Wilson. He's struggled against some good pass rushes as of late. And if you look at, his game logs before last week against the Jets, people were legit worried about Russell Wilson. If he struggles in this game a little bit, I'm not going to be worried about him. It's just a really, really good Washington defense that brings the pass rush. I think the expectations are going to be too high for him this week. Whereas if he finishes with, let's call it 18 to 20 fantasy points, I think you should be pretty happy.
All right, Yates, how about tight end? Somebody in the top 12 you're not exactly feeling this week.
Super great. I mean, he's outside the top 12 for me. He's tight end 14 in ECR, but that is still on the edge of people considering playing him. Hayden Hurst has now finished inside the top 40 tight ends just once out of the past four games. I'm not going near him.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Hurst a little bit. Tags, are you agree you're avoiding Hurst this week?
I'm not big on him. I think Dallas Goedert is the other one that I would consider. Zach Ertz, his snap count went up again last week, and that's only going to rise. So they're starting to split, the targets. And Jalen Hurts doesn't throw nearly as much as Carson Wentz was, so it's going to hurt his ceiling. So I have Goedert outside the top 10.
All right. How about our top deep sleepers, a running back outside the top 36? Quickly go ahead, Yates.
I'll go with Lynn Bowden. If you do see, even if Matt Breida is active, which I do expect him to be, I still think that you're looking at Mike Gesicki, most likely out for this game. Jakeem Grant, week to week. You're looking at Devontae Parker, most likely going to miss this game too, last I heard. So they need pass catchers, and Lynn Bowden's actually a pretty talented pass catcher. Receiver at Kentucky, played quarterback for them his senior season this past year, but yet he showed that he can get it done. So yeah, if you're looking for a sleeper, someone that you can plug in, he's RB 40 in ECR right now.
This is a guy who's going to be in tons of my lineups this week. So, man, I'm nervous. Tags, real quick, how do you feel about Lynn Bowden this week?
I like him. I think that there's a lot of reasons to be excited about him, just considering the lack of options that the Dolphins have. It's going to be a very boring game. But if you're looking for boring production, I think he could be popped in there as someone that's going to get 6+ targets, probably going to get a couple carries. And it's kind of like a Curtis Samuel type play. Maybe not as much explosion, not as good as an offense. But if you're looking for a floor, I'm fine with him.
All right, Tags, let's go to wide receiver here. Why don't you give me somebody outside the top 50 who you think might be a decent start this week?
Why not go to Gabriel Davis? I mean, he's totaled at least 68 yards in 3 of the last 5 games while scoring a touchdown in 4 of the last 5 games. We talked about the Broncos and the fact that they have basically lost every single cornerback that they've ever met or known and are starting legit backups here. So Gabriel Davis he's balled out in the chance. I mean, if John Brown comes back, it would obviously, you know, limit that excitement and probably knock him down. But as of right now,
that's what I want to ask, because Brown is practicing. If he does play, would you still feel at all like Davis is a potential start even in a deep league?
No, because if Brown comes back, that's going to knock down his snaps significantly. And I don't think that's going to be a very competitive game. So it's not going to require a whole lot of pass attempts. So if you want me to dig further, I can do
that.
You
don't have to.
But you
don't have to. I think Gabriel Davis, I mean, that's fine. I'm just asking. Just asking for fantasy managers out there who are going to be like, well, what about if John Brown comes back? I think that that's the guy. So I wanted you to make that clarification.
Cool.
Yates, what about you? You got a wide receiver outside the top 50, or was Davis also a guy who you were looking at?
No. Why is James Washington at wide receiver 64?
Mm-hmm.
We got to get him in our lineups at least as a high-end flex play, in my opinion. I think that if we do buy into the narrative, which I put forward of Chase Claypool, and James Washington seeing his snap count rise, then we got to be looking at James Washington at least as a boom or bust flex option. So yeah, I'm not going to rank him inside my top 40, but yet I do think that you can absolutely look his way.
And Tags, you're more thinking that it's probably going to be Claypool. I mean, we're all ranking Claypool ahead of James Washington, but any interest for you in James Washington?
I mean, I have him 10 spots higher than ECR, so I'm not forgetting about him. I'm not saying that there's a non-zero chance here, but I'm also not someone that's writing off Claypool. Washington, he hadn't seen, I think, more than 4 targets up until last week. So I think that probably didn't come so much from Claypool, but it came more from the fact that Deontay Johnson was benched for an entire quarter and a half. So that obviously allowed for more targets for him. So if he's capped at 4 targets, he's more of like a Hail Mary wide receiver 5 for me.
All right, let's real quick preview tomorrow night's game between the Chargers and the Raiders. I kind of think this is just a start everybody sort of game here. I mean, Austin Eckler, you guys correct me anytime I'm wrong, but Austin Eckler, probably a top 5 option. I guess what I'll ask for you about Keenan Allen is, he returned to practice today, but obviously he left last game. He had the hamstring. Any hesitation whatsoever about starting Keenan Allen, given the potential injury, or if he starts, he's way too talented, too good a matchup. You are 100% throwing him out there in your semifinal.
I could not bring it. I could not even debate benching him if he's playing.
I just wanted to make
Same
sure.
Same here.
I got that. I was doing a little Reddit AMA today. Got that question a lot. Being like, I'm too scared. I was like, I don't care. Throw him out. Just like for you guys to back me up. How about Mike Williams? Of course, he left the last game with a back injury. He's practicing now. If he suits up in this one, are you starting him, Tags?
He's not someone that I would feel it necessary to start. Just concerns about a back injury. Those things can pop up at any point. I've dealt with them my entire life. So they're not fun. I don't think he's a must start at all. It's more of like, who are you comparing him to? I think I would rather play Nelson Agholor.
I'm avoiding Mike Williams basically at all costs right now because, again, with his injury history, regardless of the matchup, I'll find somebody else to start wherever I am. How about you, Yates? You agree with that
one? There's too much risk involved.
How about Yates, both Herbert and Hunter Henry? Are these guys just both set them and forget it type guys at this point?
Yeah, I think so. At this point, I think you got to continue to plug in Justin Herbert. Now, I have him as a mid-range to low-end QB1. I'm not ranking him as aggressively as I was earlier on this season, but yeah, you still start him.
And Tags, Hunter Henry, again, a guy who we're just like, we look at his production every week, we're like, that's uninspiring, and you're my tight end 6 every single week, right? Are we there again?
I mean, I'm a little worried about this matchup. The Raiders, outside of Travis Kelce, so forget Travis Kelce. No one should ever be, like, he should not even be included when you talk about tight ends, to be honest. But if you remove him, the Raiders have held 10 of 11 starting tight ends to fewer than 10 PPR points. So it has not been a good matchup. But again, how do you escape from a guy like Hunter Henry, who's basically seeing, you know, 7-8 targets a game? It's almost impossible.
Yep. So you just set it and forget it. I think he is in that category as much as he's outside that sort of top 4 or 5 safe guys. For the Raiders, again, we talked about it. There's no Henry Ruggs. So where do you guys actually have Nelson Agholor ranked? I believe he was, what, 37th in ECR? So where do you have him ranked, Yates?
I have him at 33.
Okay. How about you, Tags?
I have him at 38 right now.
Okay. So Yates has him ranked as wide receiver 3, Tags right around that. I think, again, this is a game where he's just going to see the targets because of Ruggs being out, that you can fire him up. You're firing up Darren Waller, of course, and Josh Jacobs. Let's just put the number on it. Where do you have him ranked, Tags, right now, Josh
Jacobs? I like Jacobs this week. I have him at 9.
How about you, Yates?
I have him a little bit lower than that. I've got him at 14.
Yeah, and he's ECR at 14, but that is a guy who you are obviously starting, and I agree. I think it's going to be a big game for him. Will you stream Derek Carr this week, Tags?
Will I? I mean, probably not. I like Phillip Rivers more. I like Jared Goff more. I like Jalen Hurts a little bit more. I don't think Carr's like the worst play. I have him at 16, so I don't think he's terrible, but I'd rather start those other guys I just named.
That's exactly where I have him. How about you, Yates?
We completed the trifecta. I've got him at 16 as well.
So much agreement on the show. I'm so sorry to you guys. Okay, that's going to do it for this one. Remember, enter to win a signed James Robinson helmet. Leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped. The new year is coming. Take care of yourself below the belt with all the latest in Manscaped's Perfect Package 3.0. Use our promo code Yates over at manscaped.com. for 20% off plus free shipping. Back tomorrow talking DFS, everybody. I'll talk to you then.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.